now you bless us, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious treasure, lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet in sweet abandon. Let me be spilled out and used up for thee. Lord, you are God's precious treasure. He's loved and his own perfect Son sent here to show me the love of the Father. Just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly. You spared no expense for my pardon. You were used up and wasted for me, broken and spilled out, just for love of me, Jesus, God's most precious treasure, lavished on me, broken and spilled out, and poured at my feet in sweet abandon. Lord, you were spilled out and used up for me. In sweet abandon, let me be spilled out and used up for thee.
Brother Winkle's a student in our Bible college here, the Trinity Baptist Bible College, and we appreciate him. What a blessing he is. And let me say to those of you, the preachers that are here, we do have a Bible college, a four-year Bible college here at Trinity. It's Trinity Baptist Bible College. There's information out on the table in the foyer. Feel free to pick up something. If you have serious-minded students, we'd like for you to think about sending them here. If they're not, then I'll recommend two or three others you can send them to. But I want you to meet some of the faculty in our Bible college, some of the faculty that's here. Would you stand if you're a faculty member at Trinity Baptist Bible College? Okay. Brother Enrique Gonzalez, our Spanish pastor, teaches a course on prayer. It's really dating, but Brother Jerry Moore from up in Oklahoma comes down and teaches two missions courses. Brother Carl Ogdie, depends on what year it is. He's teaching Bible doctrine this year. Brother James Raspberry from over in Wiley, Texas, he teaches Baptist church history and the book of Romans and what else? Historical books. Brother Matt Gerald's new on our faculty. He teaches hermeneutics. Yeah. We just learned how to say it. None of us figured out how to spell it yet. And Brother Gerald spent a month trying to find it in the dictionary. Brother Todd Lasseter, our associate here, teaches soul winning and personal evangelism, Sunday school administration. Then Brother Ogdie over here, Brother Jeremy Ogdie, is also his first year. Tell them your subject. I'm telling you, we are uptown. All right, and Brother Cliff Donnelly. Cliff's a graduate of the Bible College, and he was one of our very first students. Was already a graduate of A&M with a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and a master's degree in business education. God called him to preach, messed up his plans. Actually, straightened out his plans. Stand up, tell us what you teach. Now, he would teach the regular college courses, but he's a graduate at A&M, so he teaches the bonehead English. Brother Davis, Daniel and Revelation. You want to know what the 10 toes on the statue in Daniel means? He'll tell you. Let me give you a hint. 10 toes, 5 on each foot, 10, tithe. It's deep. And the executive vice president of our school and the hands-on administrator and the chief gyrastakutis is Brother Sam Reed. You got anything you want to say, Brother Sam?
I'm just going to say you teach tithing and everything, preacher.
Yes, sir. Amen. You'd better if you're going to finance it. And then we have others that aren't here that are teaching also. But thank you, those of you that have entrusted to us your students. We want you to know we thank you from the depth of our heart. And for the most part, they've been good students, serious-minded students. We had a couple transfer to Providence that were not, but as looking for a playground. And oh, goodness. All of the messages are being taped. And except at the request of Brother Howe, he has not to be taped. So there's 9 sermons, 9 tapes. And these tapes will be professionally reproduced and mailed to those who desire them. The cost of the tapes, if you buy them individually or less than the set of 9, is $4 each. The cost of the entire set is $30, and that includes the mailing and the handling and so forth directly to you. We'll pass these out later on. We want you to know that they will be available. Now, it works very simply. If you want them, you fill this out, make sure your name and address is readable. Someone said, I didn't get my tapes. And I said, well, what's your name? Where you live? And they told me, and we went back through here, and only God knew what they had written. If they'd have picked up their envelope, they wouldn't have recognized it. But the rule is very simple. Put the money in here, or a check. If you make out a check, make it out to Trinity Baptist Church, and put on here all the tapes you want. If you want the entire set, just write on there, set, all of them. And we'll have them made. And by the way, the same company that does T.D. Jakes tapes do ours. We do a few more than he does, though. And we take ours out, and we'll have 400 or 500 done. And they said, well, we're doing TDs right now, and we're doing 20,000. And then the DVDs and so forth. So, but we want to make that available to you. Men, do y'all have these back there? Ushers, do you have these back there? Let's go ahead and get them out. If anybody's interested, raise your hand up, and we'll get that out of the way so we can get down to the more serious things. If you'd like a tape order form, raise your hand up high. Just raise them up high, whether you order one tape or all of them. If you'd like to have one of these, raise it up, and we'll take them up tomorrow. Just hang on to them. Don't fill them out tonight. Don't come handing them to me tonight. I'll lose them. Boy, you have to take abuse when you try to do something for Jesus, don't you? All right. Anyone else? Thank you so much, guys. What a blessing to have our speaker tonight, our first preacher, Dr. Clyde Gilman. 26 years ago, went to Bella Vista Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. What an exciting place. What a great church. This man's known all over the country for being such an outstanding Bible preacher. He has an unusual conference every year. It's on Labor Day. Just one day. They feed you, take care of you, and they have preacher after preacher after preacher get up. Most of them are called off the floor to preach. Have a couple of special preachers coming in to preach, but what an outstanding conference it is. If you have an opportunity to take your family on a little trip, go to his Labor Day Bible conference there at Bella Vista Baptist Church, right downtown Albuquerque, and you will be blessed. Just a little bit of information. If you go, get there early. Or you'll sit outside and wish you was inside, because that place is filled. Brother Gilman, we love you. Thank God for your faithfulness. We're looking forward to hearing you preach. Come and preach.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we'll begin in verse number 11 in a moment. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. I appreciate Dr. Smith allowing me to be a part of this conference this year, 10th anniversary. Thank you, Dr. Smith, for letting me come. The reason I'm here is Dr. Smith needed some filler. And after I preach tonight, we're going to have the main meal from Dr. Gomez, but we're going to have a salad first, have a little filler. I'm looking forward to hearing Dr. Gomez preach. I met him 6 years ago in June of the year 2000. And Arkansas at Brother Files' conference out there. That Brother Gomez was in that conference. After church one night, we went out to eat. And the guys that were there, the speakers, was Tom Williams, Keith Gomez, Jim Brown, and Mike Files. What do you think we talked about? Deer hunting, somebody said, yeah. And they didn't know, any, those guys didn't know me, and I didn't really know them, knew of them. But we sat down at the table that night, and conversation got on hunting and bow shooting and things like that. And I had never heard stories like I heard that night. I mean, never. I think it was Dr. Tom Williams that got it started. And then it just began to go around the table and got a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. And I'm telling the truth. And when he got to Dr. Gomez and he began to tell his African stories, it's like that old saying, the first liar doesn't have a chance. And they all talked. I mean, all those guys are big hunters. And boy, they just telling story after story. And I'm just sitting there and listening and wasn't saying a thing because I'm not a hunter, not against it, but I'm not a hunter. And so I didn't have any stories. And finally, Dr. Brown was sitting right by me, and he said to me, he noticed I wasn't in on the conversation. And so he's very polite and nice, and so he just, he got a pause there, and he turned to me, and he said, Brother Gimlin, he said, are you have any hunters in your church? He didn't ask me if I hunt, because I didn't have any stories. He knew I didn't. He said, do you have any hunters in your church? I said, no, Brother Brown, I preach against hunting. Yeah. And I don't, but well, I'm going to preach tonight, and then I'll preach in the morning. And when I get through preaching these two sermons, some of you are going to go home, and like Cain, you're going to say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I want to preach on the subject tonight. What a surprise. From the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. What a surprise. I heard about a man years ago owned a plantation down in the south, and he took a trip up to New York. He was coming back on the train from New York, and one of his men worked for him, met him at the train station, got off the train, and he said to his man, he said, anything interesting happened while I was gone? And his man said to him, well, he said, no, sir. He said, not really. He said, not much to mention. He said, except. He said, the two workers that died from eating the burnt horse flesh. He said, burnt horse flesh? And where in the world did they get burnt horse flesh? And he said, well, that happened, sir, when the big barn burnt down. He said, the big barn burnt down? He said, yes, sir. He said, we figured it was from a spark from the big house. He said, the big house caught on fire? He said, yes, sir, burnt to the ground. He said, the big house burnt to the ground? He said, yes, sir, we figured it started from a candle at the end of the casket. He said, a casket? He said, somebody died? He said, yeah, your ma died. And he said, we figured it was from the shock of the surprise. He said, what surprise? He said, sir, when your wife run off with a butler. So I want to preach tonight on the subject. What a surprise. Verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary, for dying for me, for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this conference and for 10 years of what you've done in the lives and hearts of men. And I pray, Lord, you'd do it again and more so this week. Thank you for Trinity Baptist. Thank you for Dr. Smith and the work that you're using him and his people to do here. I pray you'd anoint me to preach. Fill me to preach. Lord, I'd like to do a good job of preaching tonight for you. You call me. I'd like to do a good job of preaching for this conference, these men. They're here looking, needing something. Help me to preach and help us to listen. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. What a surprise. The scripture started out in the first part of chapter 15 talking about the publicans and sinners in verse number 1 drew near to hear the Lord Jesus. And then verse number 2 said the Pharisees and the scribes murmured saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Pharisees and scribes were surprised about the crowd that hung around the Lord Jesus and the type of people that he drew to himself. Some said that he was the Messiah, and so these Pharisees and scribes, they would go out to see him and hear him, and when they got around him, there would come this motley crowd, the publicans and the sinners, come to hear him preach, and the Pharisees were surprised at the group that Jesus allowed to hang around him. He would even sometimes go home and sit down at the home of a sinner, and these religious hypocrites would stand afar off and complain and murmur, and they were shocked that he would sit down and be a friend of sinners. What a surprise. I want to mention two or three areas of surprises tonight. Surprises on the day of Calvary. About six of them on the day of Calvary. That morning when Pilate brought Jesus out before that angry crowd, Pilate was trying to come up with some kind of a plan, I think, to let Jesus go. And so he brought a notable criminal out named Barabbas. He stood him up before the crowd. They knew Barabbas. He stood him up, stood Jesus up, and he said, It's your custom that I release unto you one at this time of year. Which of the two will you that I release unto you? And he was sure that they were going to say, Release Jesus, but they said, Release Barabbas. What a shock to Pilate. What a surprise. And he could not believe it. And then he said, Then what do you want me to do with this man, which is called Christ? And they said, Away with him, crucify him. What a surprise. Then when Jesus, with the cross upon him, was headed toward Golgotha, one of his main men, Simon Peter, was following afar off, and just the night before he's cutting ears off, and now the next day you can't find him, and he's out there somewhere, hiding out in the mob, in the crowd, following afar off. What a surprise. Then when they crucified the Lord Jesus, and there he is hanging on the cross, and I think a great multitude was there because they had come from all over the world for Passover, and there is Jesus hanging on the cross, and all of a sudden they said, Wait, listen, he's going to say something, he's going to speak. And what no doubt he's going to condemn the whole crowd. And all of a sudden they listen and they hear Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What a surprise to that crowd when they hear Jesus praying for them and those that have crucified him. He's hanging on the cross as a thief on either side of him, and those thieves had been railing on him and just saying everything to him, and the crowd is listening, and all of a sudden one of those thieves repents. What a shock, what a surprise. And all of a sudden that one thief said to the, he began to rebuke the other thief, and he said, "Listen, we indeed justly are what we're getting, it's what we're due, but this man," and he began to rebuke the other thief, and wait a minute, then he cried out, the thief, and he said, "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." And I think the crowd was shocked. He called him Lord. He's talking about a kingdom. And then the shock was the answer. When that thief there hanging on the cross, he said, "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." And they went and said, "Wait, let's hear what he's going to say." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What a surprise when they heard the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surprises on the day of Calvary. Darkness at noon. Surprises on the day of Calvary. The centurion's statement. The centurion, that Roman soldier that was in charge of 100 Roman soldiers, and there that day was 100 Roman soldiers, and there's this man in charge of all of those men who have conquered the world, and this man who had been given the orders, and this man who was in charge, when it was all said and done, he said out loud, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Amen. Surprises on the day of Calvary. Surprises for the prodigal. He went to the far country, wasted his life and his substance and his living and the money his father had given him, and then a great famine came in the land and he had spent all, and he joins himself to a citizen of that country. No man gave unto him, and he's hungry. And the Bible said when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go home." And he said, "I'm going home. And the only reason I'm going home is to see if Dad let me be a servant so I can eat. I'm going to go home and I'm going to confess to him that I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against him. And I'm no more worthy to be called his son. I'm just going home to be a servant." Now, wait a minute. Anything above servant is a surprise. You agree with that? He's just going home hoping to eat. He's just going home hoping to live out in the bunkhouse. He's just going home hoping to be a servant. And anything above servant is a shock and a surprise. And he heads home. On the way home, the Bible said that the father, when he was yet a great way off, he saw him. And the scripture said that he began to run. And the boy looks up. He knows that figure. He knows who that is, and he's running toward him. And what do you think that boy is thinking? "Oh no, what's he gonna do? Oh, I look at it. Here comes Dad." And when he got close to him, the dad fell on his neck and began to kiss him. What a surprise! And when you read that, I think what it's talking about, he fell on his neck and began to kiss him, and it implies that he just kept on kissing him. He just kissed him. He's hanging on his neck and he's kissing him and he's kissing him. And the servants are standing around watching. What a surprise. And the boy with his dad's arms around him kissing him. What a surprise for the prodigal. And then he's trying to confess to his dad, and his dad doesn't even let him finish. And about that time his dad says to one of those servants, he said, you go, you run, hurry. Go get the best robe and come and put it on this boy. What a surprise. He came home to be a servant, and his dad is sent for the best robe. I think the servants standing there, they were in shock. What did he say? He said, "Go get the best robe," and one's going to get the best robe. What a surprise. And then about that time, the father says to another servant, he said, "You go get the family ring." and put a ring on his finger. I want them to know that he belongs to me and my family. And the servants are shocked, and the boy is shocked, and they come and put the robe on him. What a surprise. They come and put the ring on his finger. What a surprise. And the dad said, now, go get some shoes. Servants don't wear shoes. Slave didn't wear shoes. He said, you go get some shoes and put on this boy. What a surprise. And then the dad said, I want you to kill the fat, that milk pen calf. Kill the fatted calf. And he said, well, we're going to have a feast in honor of my boy coming home. And what a surprise. The feast was in his honor. And then the scripture said, and the father said, let us rejoice. And they began to be merry. What a surprise. The kiss, the robe, the ring, the shoes, the calf, the rejoicing, all of that. What a surprise. What, he did not expect all of that. He was only hoping for servant, and anything above servant was a surprise. Surprises for the prodigal. Surprises for me. I grew up in eastern New Mexico in a little town called Tatum. My mom and dad were alcoholics, so we didn't go to church, didn't know anything about the Lord. I began the same route, same kind of life as a teenage boy, began to drink heavily. When I was 18 years old, on the day of my 18th birthday, I left my hometown running from the law. I left by a back road. Lost. Small town, so everybody knew me and knew my lifestyle. They would come get me and put me in jail in Portales, New Mexico. Then they would come get me and put me in jail in the county seat in Lovington. And then over in Odessa, Texas, they put me in jail and didn't know what to do. And so I left running from the law. Went out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and got saved. Amen. Through the witness of a co-worker. And then word got back to my hometown. What a surprise. Word got back to my hometown, and they heard that the blasphemer is a preacher. Word got around my hometown, said the blasphemer is a preacher. And then they heard that the boy that got kicked out of high school is in Bible college. What a surprise. And then later on they heard that the maniac is a pastor of a Baptist church. What a surprise. It was a surprise for me when I first heard the gospel. I was 18 years old working on a job in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There was one man there that had a testimony. Didn't know what a testimony was, but he was different than all the other men that worked there. He didn't tell the dirty jokes. He didn't sing the songs they sang. He didn't talk about the night before. And there was something different about him. And when one morning when all the other route men were gone, he walked over to me and he said, Clyde, he said, are you a Christian? I said, I don't know, Fred. What's a Christian? I didn't know. I'd never heard the gospel. I did not know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I'd heard his name as a byword, and that's all I knew. And I said, I don't know, Fred, what's a Christian? And he told me, well, he said, a Christian is a person that's realized they're a sinner, and they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross to pay for the sins and was raised from the dead. And by faith, they turn to him and receive him. And I said, no, I don't know anything about Jesus Christ. He said, he worked with a teenager. He said, Clyde, if I'd come by and pick you up Sunday, would you go to church with me? I said, yes, sir, I would. And he drove all the way across Tulsa, Oklahoma, had no station wagon, had it crammed full, but he had room for one more teenager, drove all the way across town and picked me up and took me to church that morning, and the preacher came to the pulpit. Guess what he preached on? He preached the gospel that morning. I sat there. What a surprise. What a surprise to hear John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when I heard that God loved me and sent his Son to die for me, and that God forgives sinners and gives them eternal life, what a surprise. And that, wait a minute, then after I got saved, I didn't know nothing, I just heard the gospel. I didn't know any theology. I didn't know any doctrine. What a surprise when I began to learn a few things. Amen. What a surprise when I found out that when I got saved, I received eternal life, that I received the gift of God, which is eternal life, and I found out that I was saved forever. What a surprise. You see, I figured that I didn't know. I just figured, boy, the first time I mess up, that's it. I'm gone again. But I found out in studying the Word of God that I received eternal life, saved forever. What a surprise. Then I found out that the Holy Spirit had moved in. What a surprise. Then, wait a minute. Then I found out that I was born into the family of God. What a surprise. I'm not just saved. I'm not just going to miss hell. I have become part of the family of God. Yeah. Wait a minute. What a surprise. Then I found out I was joint heirs. What a surprise. I found out I'm joint heirs with the Son of God, and everything that belongs to Him belongs to me. What a surprise. Then, what a surprise, the difference in my life. As a teenager, like some of you, no doubt, you know, I didn't have a clue, but I knew that, boy, I've got to do better. I've got to stop this kind of life. I've got to stop this drinking. And I'd try to turn over a new leaf, and it'd last a few days, and then I'm back just worse than I ever was before. And I couldn't get control of my life, and I was getting worse and worse. And then I got saved and surrendered my life to the Lord. And what a surprise! The difference in my life. Two or three years ago, I was preaching over for my good friend, Brother Chadwick in Amarillo, and one day he wanted to know what I'd like to do. I said, I'd like to go up to Borger, where you came from. And we went up to his hometown, saw where he used to live, and he began to tell me about his old life before he got saved. There's some folks in Borger that were surprised. When they heard that Gerald Chadrick is a pastor, he's a preacher, he's living for God, his life is completely changed, completely different. What a surprise! What a surprise for me, the difference in my life. I don't know some of these guys very well, but what little I've heard, there's probably some folks in Dr. Gomez's hometown surprised. And Dr. Smith and some of those that, if we could go back there and interview some of them and say, you know, Keith Gomez, and you know what he's doing. You know he's pastoring a church. You know he's running a Bible college. And they would say, no, what a surprise. What a surprise, the difference in my life. Wait a minute. And I mean this, God knows this. What a surprise when God called me to preach. I'm serious. What a surprise. All of a sudden, God, 1963, began to deal with my soul and speak to me and tug at my soul about preaching. And I could not understand that. I was sort of introversion, and I had no education. I said, oh God, I can't do that. And what a surprise that God was calling me to preach, that God wanted to use me. What a surprise. What a surprise that I'm here tonight. I'm serious. Brother Chadwick, I've been preaching a few years, but I've never gotten over the surprise. Sometimes when I walk out of my office and out onto the platform and sit there, I cannot believe it. And then Dr. Smith, when I walk up to this place and I say, open your Bibles, I'm surprised I'm here tonight. What a surprise that I'm here preaching. And wait a minute. The amazement and the wonder is not over. Oh, The list is long of the surprises for me, but the surprises are not over. I know the scripture. I know one of these days there's going to be a resurrection. I know that I'm going to be raptured. I know I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But I still believe that when it happens, it's going to be a surprise. Hey, when I come out of the grave and I look at that new body, what a surprise. And then go up to meet the Lord in the air, and then when I see that first pearl that makes up one of the gates in the city, and then when I look down at the goal, and then when the Lord takes me over and said, "Now this mansion is yours," what a surprise. I know I'm going to heaven, but I still think it's going to be a surprise when we get to heaven. Another surprise out there in the future. One day there's going to be a man, the Antichrist, that's going to rule over the entire world. He finally is going to muster his one world army and lead them down into the land of Israel to take a spoil and to annihilate the Jew. He's going to gather his army there to get rid of the Jewish people. While his army is gathered there, what a surprise when all of a sudden he looks up and the heaven is departing like a scroll. And he looks up and he said, who's that? He said, "Sir, I don't know who it is. He's on a white horse. And sir, it looks like there's a bunch with him on white horses too." And the scripture implies that his focus is going to focus on that army that's coming out of heaven, and he's going to turn to make war with the Lamb. I think what the Antichrist is going to do is say, "Well, I'll take care of him." And the army is getting... Hey, wait a minute. I don't know how quick Jesus is coming back. I know when the rapture takes place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But you think about it. It does not necessarily imply in the scripture that just soon as the heavens depart like a scroll, that instantly in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, that he's here. It may be a time element. Antichrist is there with his army, and that army's marching, heading his way. And when Jesus gets close with his army and sitting on that white horse, and the Antichrist said, "I'll take care of him," all of a sudden, out of the mouth of Jesus comes a sharp, two-edged sword, a call, the word of God, and he slays. He slays an entire army with the word of his mouth. What a surprise. Hey, can you read the headlines in the papers around the world? Man on white horse slays world leader and army with a word from his mouth. Amen. What a surprise. What a surprise. What a surprise if some of you men tonight went home, gathered your family together, and said, "I've got right with God tonight." What a surprise to some of your families. If you gathered the family around and let them know that I went to the Men of the Word conference, and I just want you to forgive me for the way I've been living and leading, and I want you to know that tonight I got right with God. What a surprise if Sunday morning in your church you went forward and stood up before the whole church and asked the church to forgive you and said, "I got right with God," during the Men of the Word conference. What a surprise if you went to work on Monday morning and called those co-workers together and said, "Guys, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian and I haven't been living for God. I got right with God this last week." And they begin to watch your changed life. What a surprise. Stand with me, please. Our Father, now, I've never gotten over the surprises. And Lord, I don't think I ever will. I pray that you'd bless now your servant as he comes in a few moments to bring the message you put in his heart for us tonight. Lord, already messages have been preached. May we take those home with us and let the Word of God bring forth some fruit in our life. I pray you change men's life tonight, this week. I pray you change their homes and churches because of decisions that will be made this week. Bless the rest of the service tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Dr. Smith. Amen.